All right, welcome back into hour number three of the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game. The Rifleman, Connor Newt, is in for Chase, who's still at one more day left at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. Be back here on Monday. Parker Kelly behind the glass. Good times. A lot of fun. There's celebrity birthdays. It's crazy how when Chase and I moved to 12-3, we got more people asking us, hey, what time is celebrity birthdays going to air than anything else?
Really?
It's just I created that segment years ago as a throwaway segment, and it just took off.
Why don't you guys wrap up with it anymore? I'm curious.
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know. Maybe we can. I don't know. It's nothing.
I was just curious. No, if that's a sensitive topic, then we don't have to talk about
that. Yeah, back off, man. I got told that 9974 called me a clown. He says, you're a clown, bro. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, time for we're going to reset with the Titans and the Bucks tomorrow night down in Tampa. By the way, there's no such thing as Tampa Bay. Do you know that? It's Tampa.
Yeah, it's just Tampa.
Thank you.
Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida.
I don't know what – it's not – the stadium's not built on the bay either. So, like, right. They just call it Tampa Bay.
I always love telling that because people are like, what? It's just a funny reaction. But people get upset over anything. As my dear friend Greg Pogue once said so affectionately, 3% of the world is against oxygen.
Really?
Let that sink in, Flo-Brand.
There it is.
Did it sink in?
It's sunk in.
All right.
Like the Titanic.
3% is against. They'll complain about anything. Earlier, we had Logan Robinson on. He runs the Tampa Bay Bucks game day website. And it was interesting. We're talking to Logan, talking about his view of the Titans. And he said, look, the Bucks got a great defense. And Cam Ward, despite throwing an interception the first time, looked decent. And I thought that was good to hear from an unbiased view about the Titans down in Tampa.
Yeah, that was kind of my worry when you told me we were having him on, is that, is he going to call things a little towards the red side more so than the blue side?
Right.
He labeled it right up the middle. And I really appreciated that. That we're missing that in today's society. There's too many biased journalists out there. We need guys that call it right how it is.
To wait. Should always be.
Yes.
Do that. And I think
too negative, not too positive.
Right. I think we talked to Paul and Teron. I think they do as well. I think they're going to highlight more positives than the negatives often, which is fine.
Yeah.
But hearing him say on the other side about, you know, how Cam looked in practice against the Buccaneers defense, run the football. I mean, there's still a long way to go, but he thought he did well. He thought he covered him in college and thought that Cam Ward really ran the offense not bad in the joint practice they had yesterday. So if you're a Titans fan, you want to hear that because that's your guy. I mean, let's make no bones about it. You're not starting Brandon Allen. You know, how about starting Brandon Allen two games in Denver and the Rams?
That's such a loser mentality.
Thank you.
Why would you set – Jake Lyman and I have been hammering on this.
Yes.
Why would you sit a guy for two games because it's too hard?
Yep.
The only way he is going to learn and grow into an NFL caliber player – is by going through the hardships, playing in the tough environments, playing the tough defenses that Denver and Los Angeles have. Sitting him behind Brandon Allen is not going to do anything for him.
I'm with you. There's nothing, right?
It's like what Nick Saban says, like NIL and transfer portal have kids running from adversity. How are you ever going to grow as a person if you don't face it?
You're exactly. Right.
Bingo.
You're exactly
simple
right.
Simple as that.
Bingo.
So it's not like Cam Ward was dropped in last week. I mean, he's been here since May.
Yep.
All of May, all of June, all of July. I mean, he went to the OTAs, now he's getting practice. It's not going to be perfect at camp every day. We understand that. There's days at camp you're like, oh, my gosh, that's the worst player ever. Then he makes some throws on the sideline. You're like, there's not many people on this planet that can make that throw.
Right.
And doing it. So I thought it was pretty good that way. Also, Logan Robinson was telling us about what he saw from Jeffrey Simmons. He called him a unit and said he was also pushing guys around. Well, you know, I've said something. You know, this team's not very good, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to win five games. Why not trade Jeffrey Simmons?
Honestly, I kind of trend towards that direction. But the problem is, I think your owner is looking towards having those stars, quote-unquote stars, heading into a new stadium. Jeffrey Simmons is one of those.
He'll
names.
Be year nine.
Yeah.
Would you trade him if a team would give you a number one next year? If the Buccaneer, can you imagine Simmons going to the Buccaneers? They're solid on defense.
Yeah.
Plug in Jeffrey Simmons there. They're a top four team in the NFL.
I'd take a first for him.
That's it. You're not giving me a three or four. Give me a first and like a fourth. Let me gobble up some people.
Yeah. And if your first isn't that good, then guess what? I can use that as leverage to go get another caliber player.
If you're offering me a first overall pick, I'm taking it in a heartbeat.
Not overall.
Oh, just, is that just first round?
First round.
First round.
Yeah, I'd probably take that too.
If
yeah.
the Bucks
a first
traded,
and a fourth?
If the Bucks yeah. traded, they wanted Jeffrey Simmons. Give me your one and give me your four.
Yeah.
And give me some good lobsters.
You could probably get a player
and a
in exchange
massage.
Too. You can get a player from Tampa.
I don't need a player. I don't need a player from Jeffrey Simmons.
I don't want your cast off, man.
Yeah.
Parker, I don't want your cast off.
From the Tampa Bay defense? I'd take a cast off.
They're not giving anybody up. You're not giving anybody up.
For Jeffrey Simmons?
Yeah. No, they're using that to bolster their
realistically,
defense.
I don't think you get a first-round pick for him. I think you get a second.
I'm not taking a second. I want a first for Jeffrey Simmons.
And if I was negotiating, I'd want a first as well. So,
I mean, it's seventh year now. I mean, he's on a bad team. I mean, if I look at this team and I'm running against the Titans, I'm like, all right, where's Jeffrey Simmons? He's double-teamed.
Let me ask you this. If he was to go to the Tampa Bay defense, do you think that would bolster his stats? Because I think his best season here was he had – 8 sacks.
I'm going to argue this again. He's not a sack guy.
Yeah.
He is an interior defensive lineman whose main job is to create chaos. If he can get back there and rush the pass, great. Even better. But he's not a guy to me to do it. He's a guy that frees everybody else up.
The problem is you have two of those because Tavondre Sweat is a interior defensive lineman that is used to stop the run and cause chaos.
Somebody sent me a Twitter link of Aaron Donald's best plays by the Rams. I said, I'm going to watch this. And it was 8 plays. He didn't make any tackles. You know what he did? He was triple teamed. And it freed up so many guys to make things happen. That's why Aaron Donald is one of the greatest. Oh, we've talked to Jeff Fisher drafted him for the Rams. He's one of the greatest defensive linemen of all time because he creates that chaos.
Yeah.
And you're triple teaming a guy?
They scheme for him.
Yes. If you can't get a sack and you got a guy being triple teamed, that's a problem.
That's
the Rams
importance. That's the importance of Tavondre Sweat. But having both of them, it frees up at the edge rushers. But the problem is, who are the Titans edge rushers?
That's very good. So go out, maybe get some more and draft some and find them. You got the collateral now to go out and do it. I don't know, but I don't know how much we'll see him tomorrow night. I think all these guys need to play in the first quarter. Now, there's been a massive injury in the NFL with Rashawn Slater for the Chargers.
Yes. Massive loss.
Injuries happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And like, oh, he shouldn't have played in practice. It should have been out. Things happen.
That's why I don't understand the argument of people saying, not only if you sit him, will he learn behind Brandon Allen? You don't want him to get injured in Denver or Los Angeles. He could get injured today tripping down the stairs.
Right.
You could get injured just walking outside.
If it's so vital, then let's get rid of the preseason games. Get rid of them.
Which would be stupid.
Have joint practices, and that's it. And then, boom, start football. There you go.
There's this stat out there. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But if you don't play in the preseason, there is an uptick in soft tissue injuries. There is some research out there.
Did Vrabel text you that?
I don't know. I don't know where I heard it, but
Vrabel's a football guy, man.
I've never heard the word soft tissue to Vrabel got here.
Just ask Vrabel about his soft tissue. He was bloodied up the other day.
That was great.
Yeah.
I mean, he got in the middle of
He's
all that
stuff.
He's
an alpha male.
He is an alpha male.
He's America's hero.
To do it, bleeding every. He did it here, though. He'd get out there and I, you know, I know some of the players.
And then he'd yell at Gentry Estes about it.
Rolling his eyes on questions. I'm sure players were rolling their eyes, too, like, all right, this coach out of here. But look, I had this thing with Joe Rexroad one day about relatability, how Vrabel's more relatable than Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
Because Vrabel has been in the trenches and played the game of football in the NFL at the high level. Now, Callahan played in college. I get all that. But Vrabel hops in there and can say, hey, look, I've been in that locker room on Sunday morning. I mean, that's just advantage Vrabel because he played in the league for 13 seasons. He's got that advantage.
Yeah.
Maybe more than that, 14 seasons. 97 to 2006, 14 seasons. There you go.
Yes. Patriots and Chiefs. I'm just tired of the narrative of Vrabel being America's media darling or coaching darling. I mean, he did some great things here, but let's not act like he was completely innocent from the downfall of the Titans. I mean, he made some bad, I will say, he made some bad choices in the draft and in coaching. There's a reason why they won in that Green Bay game to get their 7th win. They were 7-5 and then didn't win a game the rest of the season. He was a part of that. So I'm tired of the narrative of, Mike Vrabel is New England's savior and he can do no wrong, because quite frankly, I don't think New England's roster is very good. I don't think they have a better roster than the Titans right now, but so does everyone.
Well, they spent big in free agency, getting guys like Milton Williams and guys like that.
That's true, but
I think Stephon Diggs on October the 19th.
Oh, he's going to win when he comes here.
Punch the Titans in the face. I think it
But what's going to happen after that? Miss Amy may wake up on the wrong side of the bed and someone...
I think they got another game and then a bye week after that. I'm telling you, if Titans are one and something and go in that game and Vrabel just punishes them, then heads are going to roll. I mean, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's just we've seen that. She is her father's daughter. She is her father's daughter, and I think it'll happen. A.J. Brown thing happened and all that. She was mad at Robinson and don't say it was anything else. We know the answer to all that, but I think if Vrabel comes in there and pushes them around, it gets bad. And real quick, and this is funny about the Patriots come here. There's a book that came out 20 years ago called Patriot Reign, R-E-I-G-N, about the Boston Globe spent 2002 season with Bill Belichick behind the scenes. And there's a Monday Night Football game, you guys are too young to remember this, that the Patriots came in here in 2002 and the Titans just punished them. Like 24-10 was the score, but it was worse than that. They manhandled them. They punished them. New England had no answer, out-physicaled. And Belichick talks in that book and says, because of that game, my team, we had to get stronger. We had to get bigger because we were just pushed around all night long. So there's a small little funny history with this going on with the Patriots and the Titans about Bill Belichick kind of redoing his team because how Jeff Fisher's team just punched him in the face. Vrabel's going to come in here on the October 19th. I think he does the same thing. He's going to have that team so wound up on that Sunday, and they're going to know the story. A lot of these Titans players don't understand that story, but Vrabel's going to make sure his team knows the story. And I'd be shocked if the Titans win that game.
We could see the writing on the wall. It's like when Malik Willis came in here with the Packers. We all knew what was going to happen.
Right.
Did you see the writing on the wall?
Yeah, it was just so bad. It was bad. Connor, you betting, man?
Not yet, but I will.
Don't be. Don't. Stay away from
really?
It. Really? Just stay away from it. Yeah. But you can bet on that game. If you
Rick Merritt would tell me otherwise.
Oh, Rick Merritt was that
he'd had me in insane credit card debt.
Probably would. All right, we'll take another break. Having fun here today. All right, we'll go back to our question of the day. What do you think the funniest movie is of all time? Now, there's a new list that just came out released who they have the top 50. Number one's The Hangover, and everything after that is pretty much what in the world? What do you think is the funniest movie of all time? Call us or text 615-737-1025. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show brought to you by Omni National Hotel right here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. That's Parker Kelly playing what's on his playlist in the bedroom at night. Thank you, Parker, for that. The Rifleman.
Family show. Family show.
The Rifleman, Connor Newton today, Chase McCabe, spending his last couple of hours at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp.
What is the fantasy part of Rock and Roll Fantasy?
So, you ever remember Seinfeld when Kramer went to, you're too young, went to fantasy baseball camp with the Yankees? And it's like,
oh.
He'd like, was it Joe DiMaggio was there?
Yeah.
You know, he tried to get into it, something like that. But so it's a fantasy camp. I mean, you don't, it's not like.
He's role playing.
Yeah, he's role playing.
Oh.
Skid Row and Cinderella and
Paper
Rat.
Paper plates and.
Skid Row and all those good.
Is he singing any karaoke?
Let's hope not. Because I don't want to hear him sing karaoke because it's not good. All right, 615-737-1025. Reaction, what you think the funniest movie of all time is. And, Willie texted in Animal House. I'm like, yeah, Animal House didn't make the top 50. What kind of dumb list is this if Animal House doesn't make the top 50? But all things are new again because who we have on the line.
On our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Kenny the Mailman, our good buddy, is on the line. Kenny, how are you, sir?
Great. I'm going in and out. Have y'all got me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
What she said.
Joe Dubin?
Yes, sir.
By the power invested in me by the Postmaster General of the United States, I declare that list null and void, and it goes in the bulk mail trash.
What is your funniest movie of all time, Kenny?
Well, let's go to high school, Kenny. And when we got off from Kroger, we always went to the midnight movie to see Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
And then we would hang around and see Fast Times at Ridgemont High because I went to school with about 30 Spicolis.
Where'd you go to high school?
No doubt about it. Cone High School, my friend.
Oh, back in the good old days.
Had a bad reputation, but good friends.
There we go. Hey, by the way, Kenny, Young Frankenstein does not make the top 50, and that's really sad.
Well, that's why it's not a list. It's in the bulk mail trash.
Yes.
We'll make our own list. Werewolf, Beowulf.
That's such a great line. All right, Kenny, thank you with that. By the way, this list is from Circle Ranks. It's based on their Circle Ranks app users. Their top 10 movies of all-time comedies. Number 10, Monty Python, The Holy Grail, which is good. I'll take that. Number 9, Old School. 8, Happy Gilmore. 7, The Big Lebowski. 6, which I think is a terrible movie, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I'd like to really forget Sarah Marshall. 5, Wedding Crashers. 4, My Cousin Vinny. 3, Superbad. 2, Step Brothers. 1, Is a Hangover. Connor Newt, what's your all-time favorite funniest movie?
I have a few. If you're limiting me to one, it's Wayne's World. But I think I just love Mike Myers.
Okay.
I love Austin Powers.
Not on here. It should be on here.
Austin Powers is not on there?
Not one of the threes on here.
The first one's the best one.
It's fantastic.
Trash list.
It is. This is an awful list. Parker, what's your favorite movie?
I'm going to go Major League. I like Major League.
All right, that comes in at 21. My favorite comedy of all time is Airplane.
Love Airplane.
Airplane comes in at 38 on this list.
That should be top 10.
Knives Out at 48. We discussed earlier what
not
that is.
Terrible.
Right?
Terrible.
Not a comedy movie either.
Yes. By the way, 8492 says that Seinfeld, that Kramer popped Mickey Mantle at Yankees Fantasy Camp. Thank you, 8492. 9712 says Fletch is the best comedy of all time. I agree, and Fletch doesn't even make the list on here at all. 40-year-old Virgins at 17. We all agree that's
pretty
good.
That one's a good one. Yeah.
Mean Girls? I mean, I've heard it's funny. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I think it's a musical now, too.
Is it really?
Yeah, like on Broadway.
What about Dodgeball? That's y'all's era.
I love Dodgeball. Dodgeball's
fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
Grown-ups?
Grown-ups is good. It's like your typical Adam Sandler movie. Like, don't go in expecting any award-winning performances, but there's not much plot to it. It's just a bunch of guys hanging out.
Yeah, I think it's like, hey, let's make our mortgage this month. Let's make this movie. I'm getting a lot on the text line for, where did it go? Cody, Porky's. If you've never seen Porky's, it's a coming-of-age movie in the late 50s in Florida.
Never seen it.
It is amazing. It is an amazing comedy that should be on.
Is it worth the watch?
It is, okay. Yes. Not with your parents, but with, yeah. It's worth it. Be ready to laugh. I mean, there's a lot of sophomore humor in there. Would do that. Mr. G says 21 Jump Street with Channing Tatum.
And that's, a good one.
Fantastic.
That's a good
one.
It's funny. Yeah.
8765, Superbad. 9006 says Blues Brothers. I don't know. Comedy, it's funny, but I like the movie, but I don't laugh a lot in that. Am I wrong in that?
No, I'm with you. I do like Blues Brothers, though. I think that's a good movie. Good music in that.
We got some votes for Kingpin with Bill Murray, bowling.
I haven't seen that.
It's pretty funny.
I saw some votes for The Jerk with Steve Martin.
Yes.
That's a good one. I thought that was really funny.
Jerk, does he make the list?
Really?
I mean, movies after like 1990 on this list are like Breakfast Club. Breakfast Club's not a comedy.
No, it's not.
I don't know. These people do these lists. Talladega Nights at 36. Tommy Boy comes in at 23.
Where's Spaceballs?
Oh, it's a good one. Spaceballs comes in at 46.
Okay.
What about She's the Man? Have you ever seen She's the Man?
I've not.
Connor, have you seen She's the Man? There's no way you've not seen it.
I don't know what that is.
It has Channing Tatum in it.
I don't know what that is.
You've never seen She's the Man?
No.
Connor, I am disappointed in you. Big Joe, you're okay. But Connor?
I've never seen She's the Man.
You need to watch it.
Horrible Bosses is pretty funny.
That's funny.
That yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There was someone here that deserved beyond it. Like, Hall Pass is not funny to me.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a movie with Jennifer Aniston when they get a hall. You know what a hall pass is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wait. I have seen that.
It's the movie where they get a hall pass. It's called Hall Pass.
Yeah, they go out. It's during school hours. Caddyshack, 9006 is good with Caddyshack. So that's a list. This response is, you guys have been great because there's a lot of movies on here that should be on this list and they're not. I'm not sure where they get that from. But Randy Thank you, Randy. Finally, a text that comes through that gets me stripes with Bill Murray is a top three all-time favorite comedy. All time. And we get more Blazing Saddles comments comes in.
Blazing Saddles. We also have a caller.
Oh, take it.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and talk to Eric. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. Some of these movies I'm about to name may be on the list, some of them not, but okay. I've got five and see if they're on the list. What about Ghostbusters?
No, not on the list.
Home Alone, the original one.
Not on the list.
Silver Streak.
Not on the list. Keep going, baby.
Uncle Buck.
Not on the list.
Wow, Uncle Buck.
And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Comes in at number 30.
Yeah, I'm surprised some of those other films were not on the list. I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen some of those films. It's just, I agree, some of that stuff is just, it's really, really ridiculous that some of those films that you were talking about were that are on and not on the list. I did think of Blazing Saddles, too. I mean, you know, you got some good films. I know one that's probably not on the list, or if it's on the list, I would be surprised. What about Three Amigos?
No.
Nope. Oh, Steve come Martin. On.
Not on the list.
I
great
love
movie.
That.
That's
yeah.
a great
and Martin
movie.
Short.
No, not
yeah,
on there.
Yeah, yeah. But those are just something I'm throwing out, guys. Y'all take care. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Appreciate you, buddy. Take
Joe,
care.
Have you ever seen We Are the Millers?
Yes.
With Jason Sudeikis and Jennifer Aniston.
Where they go get the dope in Mexico?
Yes.
Fantastic movie.
I think it's hilarious.
Fantastic. And it's got like a little meaning to it.
It has heart.
It has heart. That's a good point. Like Tommy Boy has heart. When his dad dies, the movie spins in a different direction, and you're rooting for this guy.
Yeah.
It's just great. All right, we'll continue this. Brett and Franklin, thank you. 3 o'clock High is the greatest high school movie of all time. You've never seen it, you need to watch it. A lot of these reaction, I can't keep up. They're flying
I
through
I know, I'm losing track.
615-737-1025. It's a fun Friday here on 102.5 The Game. Back with more after this. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game. I hate interrupting Billy Joel. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Rifleman, Connor Nude in today, Parker Kelly behind the glass, Chase McCabe at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. We're taking your calls on the worst comedy list of all time that we found just awful, and you guys are great with your recommendations of the funniest movie of all time. 615-737-1025. Connor Nude, I believe we have something.
We do. On our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, let's go to Bicycle Boy, who has an answer to the question of the day. Bicycle Boy, what's up?
Hey, fellas. I'm driving, so I couldn't text, but surely Napoleon Dynamite's got to be on there.
No, right? That's not even the top 50, nowhere.
Uncle Rico, come on.
That movie should be in the top. I mean, because that is we all laughed at it. We're still laughing at it. It deserves a spot in the top 50. Nowhere to be found.
All right.
All right. See you, buddy.
All right.
Try texting next time. See ya.
Good talk. Good chat.
That goes on. Continue coming and let us know what you think about everything that is happening. All right. So I found another list. I'm good at finding lists, right?
Yes, you are.
So each Power Four college football team's all-time longest win streak. I would have lost money on this. How many games in a row, and this is out throughout history, the Tennessee Vols, how many what's their win streak? How many games they win in a row?
All time?
All time. What's their highest win total streak-wise?
I'll say 27.
Less or more than 27?
Just guess.
20.
23. The Vols at one time won 23 straight. Guess what the all-time winning streak is, the school, and how many? It is now an SEC school.
Oklahoma.
Now, yeah.
Oklahoma.
Yep.
How many did they win in a row?
48.
I'll say 43.
47.
Wow.
Parker Kelly back there looking up the Google machine.
Hey, that's why I host the Air Raid, not Connor. No, I'm just kidding.
Washington second, the longest win streak ever in Power Four at 40 games.
Wow. Huskies.
Third, tied at three, Miami and SC at 34.
Okay.
Now, a team you might not think of that cracked the top five, the Pitt Panthers.
Ah.
Hmm. Okay.
They've won at Acrisure Stadium.
They've won 32 straight at one time. Now, they do have Pitt Panthers. I'm older than you guys. The greatest college defensive football player of all time is Hugh Green, who probably should have won the Heisman Trophy in 1980. He didn't because George Rogers did. But Hugh Greene was on that team in 1980, so the Panthers. Number six, Texas at 30, Clemson 29, Florida State 29, Georgia 29. Alabama won 28 in a row. That's their biggest one. UCF is at 25.
That's right, because that was in 2017, they proclaimed themselves as national champions. It's still on their stadium. It says 2017 national champions because they had won 25 straight. They were undefeated. But this was obviously the age of the four-team college football playoff.
That's why I can't stand Gus Malzahn. If he were just beaten Central Florida, they would have shut in their mouth. Wouldn't have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
He was the head coach at Auburn that lost to them in the Peach Bowl.
Yep.
All he had to do was beat them. Where do you think Vanderbilt ranks? What's Vanderbilt's all-time win streak?
I'd have to go way back.
I'm going to go 8.
Okay.
I'll go 6.
13.
Wow, okay. Vandy.
Look at that.
What year?
They are, doesn't say. Okay. They are tied with 13 with Baylor, Boston College, Illinois, Mississippi State, Oklahoma State, Ole Miss, and Jake Lyman's Virginia Tech team. They're all tied. They've all won 13 straight at one time.
Interesting.
Which is more than Houston won 12. Your Cats won 12.
Yep.
Texas Tech 12. Indiana 10, Louisville 10, South Carolina 10. At the bottom three, Wake Forest has an 8-game win streak, Northwestern a 9-game win streak, NC State a 9-game win streak.
And that's the bottom.
That's the bottom. Mm-hmm. So all teams have made that list at some point. Vanderbilt 13.
How
that's,
about it?
That's surprising to me.
I don't think, surprising.
I don't think we'll Dabo Swinney thinks Clemson's going to go 16-0 this year. A college football team's never gone 16-0. So a team goes 16-0, you will land at 38th all time if you go 16-0.
I don't think that's going to happen in this era.
No, exactly.
Not in this era.
Now, the crappy ACC, it might. He might get the 12 and then win the conference championship. That's 13. Then you got to go win two or three after that.
Yeah, but they still have to play LSU, Georgia Tech. I don't think they have an easy schedule for ACC standards. I'll have to look.
We'll make sure you clarify that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll do it. All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back. The final segment, I'm proud of my co-host today because it's like the old Jerry Lewis telethon. He's been here now for about 78 straight hours. We're going to send the rifleman out on the good side, as we should, because I'm proud of this guy today. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up. DVD's coming your way at 3 o'clock. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back to the final segment of the Chase and Big Joe Show. Chase on vacation. Be back on Monday. This is the song when I had a joke. I'm not going to tell it. It's
Friday.
Do you know
who this song is about?
Christy Brinkley.
Yes.
Yes. All right, we got a call.
We do. Let's go to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Gary on the program. Gary, what's up?
Hey, guys. It's Friday, you ain't got a job, you ain't got nothing to do. How about that movie?
That made the list. That came in like at 48th.
Gee, that should be top five. What about Pineapple Express?
Didn't make the list. Pineapple Express is a great underrated movie.
One of the funniest ever. All them Seth Rogen movies. Anyway, back to football. Back in the day, the Steelers would get all these unsigned draft picks that would turn out to be superstars. When was the last time that the Titans had something like that?
Drew Bennett is the greatest undrafted player the Titans have had. I think that they've been here. There's been one or two others who've made the team, but he's the guy, Gary, that really stands out because he parlayed that into a massive contract with the St. Louis Rams down the line where he was terrible. But he's a guy that nobody counted on. He came in 2001 and just really shined in camp, man.
Yeah, that shows the scouting department. You know, that shows, like, the depth of the scouting department. It makes a difference between winning and losing.
Yeah, you're right. You just never know. You find those undrafted gems that could turn the team. That's why in the NFL, you never turn them down. You never know. I mean, you just never know. College is the same way. You get guys that walk on, you don't know what could happen. So that's what happens. Gary, thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate you.
Have a good weekend, man.
All right, man. See you, Gary. Rifleman, what's the success tomorrow night for the Titans?
A success to me is you get quality reps, actual reps, not mental reps, from Cam Ward.
Thank you.
And your young receivers.
Does it matter if they win or not?
No. Not one bit.
Then why are we playing the game?
It's practice.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's funny. Preseason games now, they were like when I was growing up, like, yeah, they used to have 6 preseason games. Then it went to 4, now it's down to 3. But preseason games used to mean something.
Yeah, and they're going to go to 2 at some point, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to go to 2. It's inevitable.
They'll make an 18-game schedule. Yep. They'll do all that.
Yeah, Roger Goodell's already talked about it in plenty. So
I think it happens. But I still think that, you know, the preseason games, 4, probably 2. I don't mind 3. They're going right now. But I just think with – how much money's poured in the NFL now, getting guys injured in a preseason game. And I still – but that's – I'm torn, Rifleman. I'm torn because I think they need to play preseason.
Yeah, I think preseason is valuable to the extent of you get valuable reps for your starters. You can see some of these guys that are on the brink of making the team or being cut. They can kind of give their last hurrah and show out and maybe – throw the Hail Mary and make the team.
Right. You're right. No, I'm with you on that. Who do you want to see step up tomorrow night?
As far as starters, I mean...
Just anybody.
Just anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, the easy answer is Xavier Restrepo, who is apparently the greatest wide receiver to ever step foot in a Tennessee Titans uniform.
I don't think he makes the team.
I don't either. I talked about this earlier today, and I'll probably talk about it again tomorrow. I think the Titans, if they keep 6 receivers, it's going to be Lockett, Ridley, Van Jefferson, Bryce Oliver, DK, Io Manor.
Mm-hmm.
If they keep 7, add James Prochet to that list.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I think it's funny. We talk about these receivers now. Once the season starts, past receiver number 4, we'll never hear those guys again.
Yeah.
It's the way it always goes. I mean, it's the way it is. You're not relying on number 5, number 6 receivers. And now, can they play special teams?
That's why I rely on Bryce Oliver and, wow.
Who? I was about to ask, what about Bryce Oliver?
I just said Bryce Oliver.
No, yeah. I know. But I think he's going to contribute significantly this year.
But somebody's going to be the odd man out. Van Jefferson?
I mean, you got to rotate them in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
Calvin Ridley. And Tyler Lockett, I don't think should ever leave the field in a passing situation.
I'm with you. All right, give me 2 more.
Van Jefferson and Bryce Oliver, I think you can rotate in at the slot.
But, I mean, when you got DK and Io Manor having great camps, Io Manor looked good yesterday.
Oliver's going to be at Z.
Yeah. Io Manor is...
Now, for those in the world, what does Z mean?
Z is your outside – what Calvin Ridley plays.
Okay.
Your X is typically your long, lanky receiver, jump ball type of guy. Z is more shifty gadget that's not in the slot.
And why?
Because he's your best receiver.
No, why, Goofy? X, Z, and Y.
X, Z, and Y?
You have a Y receiver out there.
What is your Y position?
Yes.
Y is tight end.
Okay, thank you. That people know.
I was confused, sorry.
That's right. That's okay.
It's been a long day. I've been here 6 hours as well, so.
You're not breaking rocks in the parking lot. You're punching
buttons.
Not
yet. Not yet. I may throw a rock at David Jane's car, but.
We all do that. The Rifleman, Connor, I'm proud of you, man.
You don't have to be proud of me. This
6
is part
hours
of
radio is it's long, man. It's a tough day.
But this is part of the job, man. This is a great opportunity. I'm thankful that I was trusted with this opportunity to do it for 6 hours. And hell, I'd do 6 more if I had the chance.
Well, I'm sure till 9.
Maybe DVD will let us on. Looks like they may need a little help. They're down D-Mace. So.
Right. Are they down D-Mace?
I don't see him here.
Okay.
He'll be here.
He'll be here, though. The weekend huddle's tomorrow. Tell me about.
The weekend huddle. It is our new weekend show with myself. Parker Kelly will be on there as well. Nick Frazier will join us. 9 to 12. It is in place of Forrest Company, kind of just a repurpose. But, yeah, come on. We'll have some fun. We're going to talk Titans. We're going to talk a lot of college football. Got some new segments planned for fun. We'll play our new game, Where Are They Now, which is – I don't know if I've played this with you, Joe. We do random miscellaneous players that used to be prominent in college or pro, and we'll guess where they are now. Where are they playing?
I heard it last week. Somebody referred to it as America's favorite game.
Lyman keeps pushing that. And
then Parker asked Dr. Crane, like, all right, you do both. Where do you land? And Dr. Crane gave a very political answer, which I was not happy about.
Yeah. What did he say?
Both of them are good.
So he's a fence rider.
Yeah, he is. So he'll have a talk when he gets back.
I need a biased answer from him.
Yeah, right.
I need to know where he sways.
We know the greatest segment ever is celebrity birthdays.
Yeah.
All right, proud of you. That's tomorrow, 9 o'clock, right?
Yes, sir.
Parker Kelly, nice job, brother. As we leave every show, every message is to our guys out there for mental health. If you are struggling, need to talk to somebody, we are so honored to be partnered with Unity Psychiatric Care to get you the help you need. You don't have to go through this alone. And I tell you all the time, our world is a better place because you are here. Just please go to thegamenashville.com, click on the Chase and Big Joe show. There's a drop down for Unity Psychiatric Care. Go there, get the help you need. I'm telling you all the time that our world is indeed a better place because you are here. If you're struggling, please reach out. Please talk to someone. Know that we love you. More importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you. DVD's next.